Yeah, guess who the Kings play tonight? Warriors. Sacramento going to be at Chase Center. So with the call tonight on NBC Sports California, and of course joining us, he is a drive guy after all, is Kyle Draper. Are you ready for game time, Drapes?
My man, I am ready. I'm here inside Chase Center. The building is lit. The vibe outside is feeling good. I'm feeling good. Nice, smooth drive down on the way from Sacramento. I just had some lunch, so I got a full belly. I'm ready to get started. Whitey, let's go.
I know this is kind of silly in some ways, neither here nor there, but we do have a brand new king to talk about. And not to put you on the spot, because it's a move that has a lot of people going, hey, I'm sorry, who? Petrusev. Philip Petrusev, pardon me, is the newest king. What, if anything, can you tell us about this move the Kings made today?
You're putting me on the spot. I don't know anything about this guy other than the fact that he made his NBA debut October 29th, played, what, 3 minutes, I think it was, a 23-year-old, yeah. 6'11", big man from Belgrade, Serbia. And so we'll see, man. I don't expect, you know, like this is the reason that they're going to get over the hump or make the NBA Finals or anything like that. But there was a reason why Mike Brown, Monty McNair, and the Kings wanted to take a look at this guy. And so they bring him in, get a look at him, see what he can do, and, you know, go from there. But, you know, it's you can never have too much height, right, if you're Sacramento. You know, we got JaVale McGee, you got Alex Len. And so I'm not sure where he fits in all of this, but, you know, they made a minor move. They took a flyer on this guy.
Yeah, you know, in a way, Kyle, and not to spend too much time on Philip Petrusev, because he may not be a factor at all, but reminds me of a type of almost like an A's, Oakland A's Moneyball move, where this guy's available. He was a really highly regarded prospect about 3 years ago. You can get him. We also get some cash. There's no harm. There's some upside there, potentially. There's no harm. So why not make a move like that, right?
No, exactly. It doesn't cost you anything, you know. And who knows? You might have a diamond in the rough or somebody like that, you know. This guy played at Monteverde Academy in Florida. And was that the same one as Keegan Murray? I'm trying to think. You know, Keegan Murray played at a prep school in Florida as well. And so Monteverde – no, he played at DME Academy. If I'm correct, Monteverde turned out Joel Embiid. I think Embiid played there. And so, you know, he got some basketball pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what he can deliver for this Kings team. But, you know, you're right. You take a flyer. It doesn't cost you anything. And hopefully you found a diamond in the rough.
Yeah. You have any reasons for optimism for the Kings tonight? Obviously, they lost to the Warriors on Friday with De'Aaron Fox. And of late, other than that game six there last year in the playoffs, the Warriors have kind of had their way with the Kings. No De'Aaron Fox tonight, so looks like potentially rough sledding. Where do you think Kings fans should hang their hat in terms of having some optimism about tonight's game?
No, you should be optimistic. I know the Warriors have, you know, had your number per se. They've you know, owned you, winning 8 out of the last 11 matchups, including preseason and the playoffs. But, you know, everybody counted the Kings out in Game 6. If you remember last year during the playoffs, mm-hmm. The Warriors had a chance to close them out here at Chase Center on their floor, and the Kings totally dominated that game. And I go back to, you know, what Scal told me, Brian Scalabrine once told me, you know, especially early on, right after a player gets injured, you see teams usually get like a little bit of boost because guys that wouldn't get minutes, now it's their turn. So they're fired up. They're ready to go. They're putting in extra work. And so I think that's what we'll see tonight. I'm excited to see how the Kings function without De'Aaron Fox. You know, this team is deep enough to survive in the short term without him. And Davion Mitchell, now's your time. You know, when you were a rookie and you filled in for De'Aaron Fox, you averaged, you know, 19 points a game. I know it's a different offense and a different time, but, you know, now's your chance to show the, you know, all that growth you made in the offseason. And so I'm excited to see the guys and how they respond tonight.
Yes, Kyle Draper coming to us from San Francisco, where he's got the play-by-play on NBC Sports California tonight. Whitey Gleason here. The drive guys get ready for the once again, the Kings and the Warriors. And I a few years ago, I would not have dreamed that I'd be saying this, Kyle, but one of my hopes for tonight is that the Kings shut up, Steph Curry, who has gone from being, oh, what a nice guy. Oh, and he has fun. And now he's with all the gesticulations and the Home Alone face and the night-night. And, you know, I don't remember a player who kind of changed his reputation the way he has from being just such a nice young man to, well, this guy's got a little edge to him. He's entitled to that. Bless him. But I want the Kings to shut him up tonight.
I'm 100% with you. You know, Steph Curry, obviously a great player, one of the game's greatest players, a nice guy off the court. Also, Whitey, I mean, he signed jerseys for my kids.
Okay.
And I didn't say one jersey, multiple jerseys. Every time he's in Sacramento, he stops and signs. And so, you know, I want to hate the guy so much because it's a rival. Sacramento and Golden State is a rival. But I'm with you, man. You know, the whole, you know, mouthpiece thing, the night-night, the just everything. Even when he shoots a three-pointer, kicking out, begging for the foul call. You know, we did a segment, me and Chris Watkins, over the summer, some of our most unlikable players. And Steph Curry was at the top of our list, both of ours, because he's great. We understand. Role model, good in the community. You know, he's an icon, no doubt about it. But when he's on the other team, it drives me nuts watching this guy play. And so somebody needs to shut him up. And somebody needs to send a message to Draymond Green also.
Exactly.
I haven't forgotten about that, Whitey.
Yeah.
I still remember game two Draymond stepping on my guy Sabonis. And so we'll see him tonight. And hopefully Domas has a little get back, a little payback tonight.
Mm-hmm. The thing about Steph Curry is when he did the, you know, light the beam in game seven last year and now giving the Kings the night-night, he knows he's irritating Kings fans. So that's intentional. He's trying to get us riled up. So it's not our fault that we want to see him. Oh, you know, nice father, nice guy. It's your fault, Steph, that we're rooting so hard to see the Kings shut you up. You brought that on yourself by antagonizing us. And I really hope the Kings are able, one way or the other, to kind of level things up tonight. I would love to see that. Not sure how likely it is, but Kings fans are rooting for that almost as hard as they're rooting for a win tonight.
Yeah, and here's the thing about Steph Curry. If I'm a Sacramento Kings fan, and if I'm a Sacramento Kings player, I'm accepting that. Okay, Steph, you want to talk the trash, you want to do the night-night, that should motivate you, right, Whitey? Like, you shouldn't have to really get up to play the Warriors, but when Steph does stuff like that, that should motivate you. If I'm Davion, you know, I got a picture of Steph on my bedroom wall, and I'm angry. I'm pumping iron like I'm in the clink or something, like I'm in jail. You know, when I get out, well, when I get on this Chase Center floor, it's going to be a nightmare for Steph Curry. And so, all right, Steph, you want to talk trash. You want to make fun. You want to do the night-night. We got something for you. And so that's why this game is so important for Sacramento. Just to, you know, earn a little respect, too, man. I just mentioned it.
Yeah.
They're 3-8 against the Warriors over their last 11 games. You got to have some pride, some respect.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of pride, it's Pride Night here inside Chase Center. So I want to see our squad, the Kings, come in here and show some pride tonight.
Where do they have you in the Chase Center? And I know you've been in there many times. What do you think? You were just in Golden One. How does Chase, a newer building, compare to the Golden One?
You set me up here, Whitey. I see what you try. You know what? I tell you what. When you're inside the arena, Chase Center is nice.
Yeah.
The seats are nice. The views are nice. The problem is when you walk into the concourse area and when you're walking into the building, it doesn't feel like you're in an arena. And that's where, you know, they come up, you know, really short of Golden One Center. You know, matter of fact, the Lakers game the other night, I went upstairs at Golden One Center to the 200 level.
Mm.
I went up there and walked around, and I could still get the feel of the arena, the buzz of the arena. Chase Center, I tell you what, once you leave the Arena Bowl, you forget you're in a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You forget that, you know, you got 18,000 screaming fans there because it's so cold. And so it doesn't hold a candle to Golden One. But you know what? Their fans will be rocking today. You know, I'm interested in seeing the atmosphere because a lot of times you hear people say, oh, it's not a rivalry. It's not a – trust me, their fans will be geeked up for this one. They'll be fired up for this one. And so I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and I got to say, being totally honest, I've been very impressed by the start they're off to. We touched on this a little bit during the crossover. The fact that Chris Paul already has decided and agreed to come off the bench and he's played very well with the second unit – and he's played very well in some, as we saw Friday night some of the finishing lineups. That really goes a long ways towards solidifying their, you know, we always talk about culture. When Andre Iguodala years ago decided, okay, I'll come off the bench, I think that really set the tone for that quote-unquote Warrior culture. Chris Paul agreeing to do it just this year and playing well, I think that that has a similar impact on them. And so far, it's very early, but I was hoping that they would take a little longer to figure things out. And they're really impressive so far, especially the aforementioned Steph Curry.
Yeah, they're playing extremely well, you know, on a three-game road winning streak, three in a row. They're 3-1. But I will say this. I'm not going to jump on the Warriors bandwagon and say they figured it out. It's smooth sailings right now. You know, it's like the 5-0 San Francisco 49ers. Everything's right. Everything's good. But when you hit that adversity, what happens when you hit that three-game losing streak? Chris Paul is playing 30 minutes a night, and they're winning. So he's going to be happy. But what about Andrew Wiggins? Andrew Wiggins is only playing 25 minutes per game, averaging 10 points per game. You know, is he all of a sudden, you know, in January, if this keeps up, is he going to start griping? Is he going to start chirping? And so, you know, all is right now in Warriors land. They're coming out fired up. They're playing extremely well to start the season, but they haven't hit any adversity yet.
True.
And look at the teams they've faced, you know, outside of Sacramento, you know, and Phoenix in the opener. I mean, you go on the road, you beat New Orleans. New Orleans is a flawed team right now. Zion's still trying to get his legs. You beat, was San Antonio, I think?
It was Houston. They beat Houston Sunday.
Yeah, you beat Houston. And we know Houston is still trying to figure things out. And so, you know, they're 3-1, looking good, but they haven't faced, you know, the upper echelon cream of the crop yet. And so tonight will be another test for them.
Yeah, it would be nice to see the Kings put a little dent in that quick start, but fingers crossed. Is there anything you'd say here, Kyle, 1 week into the season, anything that surprises you, or what surprises you the most so far looking league-wide at the first week of the NBA season?
You put me on the spot, but, you know, I'm going to go back to the Dallas Mavericks.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dallas, you know, and what they've been able to do so far this season, and I know they haven't beaten anybody, but they look like a much better team. Luka's playing at, you know, an MVP level. Obviously, some of their new additions, I think, you know, has really paid off. You know, Grant Williams is playing well for Dallas. So they're a surprise team. Also, how about that win by San Antonio last night over Phoenix? I thought that was a huge win. They sit at 2-2 on the season. Wembanyama looks good. He looks great. Obviously, he's going to get better. But they got some other pieces also. You know, Devin Vassell is a solid player. And so, you know, they've been sort of a surprise, I think, so far this season. I guess the biggest surprise, I just got word as I was walking in, is that Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are going to play on the second night of a back-to-back.
No.
How shocking is that?
Come
right?
on.
That might be the biggest surprise
of all.
Is that
a prank? Are you pranking us?
Right? It's Halloween, April Fool's. What's going on here? So that might be the biggest surprise so far this season.
Okay.
I think they're supposed to play tonight against the Lakers, yes.
I have to confess, last night, watching the Suns and the Spurs, and I think, you know, the Spurs make a little rally, and then the Suns got it back to like 9 or 11 in the fourth quarter. I turned it off.
So did you?
Okay.
I thought the Suns had that thing. I was like, all right, Suns got this. And sure enough, you wake up this morning, oh, my God, the Spurs came back and won that game. And so, nice win for them. Good win for them.
And I think another thing that surprises me so far is the fact that Memphis, they haven't won a game yet.
Yeah, they're really hampered with injuries, obviously. No Ja Morant, no Steven Adams, Clark, you know. And so what I'm seeing from Memphis, and maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm being a hater and everything like that. They're 0-4 right now. And Jaren Jackson Jr. was supposed to be this all-world guy, you know, take this leap and be great. And I'm looking at him, and, you know, he's at 18 points and only 7 rebounds. Like, you know, those are pedestrian numbers. Mm-hmm. Those are numbers you should get in your sleep if you're Jaren Jackson Jr. He has not been great for them. Desmond Bane's been awesome, averaging better than 25 points. But they need more from Jaren Jackson Jr. I mean, he's been a disappointment, I think, through the first 4 games.
Yeah, and I know it's early, but I think in the West this year it's going to be so compacted that any, you know, really 3 or 4-game losing streak can really have an impact down the road. So, little surprise they're struggling, but you're right. It's easy to see why they are. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll tell you why. For the first time in years, I'm glad that the Raiders left. I'm glad they're not in the Bay Area anymore. Kyle is in the Bay Area. I'm here in our Sacramento studios. It's the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Drive Guys with you. And yeah, as you know, Kyle Draper at Chase Center in San Francisco. He's got the play-by-play tonight on NBC Sports California. And I know I talk a lot about the two arenas, and part of that is because I'm just really impressed by the fact that Sacramento built the Golden One Center and then the Warriors build Chase. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, they're going to learn from everything that went right here. And they're probably going to come up with a much better building. And Chase, it's a wonderful building. It's beautiful,
right?
But it's not Golden One Center. And I'm just proud of Sacramento in that regard.
You know what it is to Whitey. Golden One Center has a warmthness about it.
Mm-hmm.
Golden One Center sort of resembles Sacramento, a big city but with a small town feel, if you know, like a family kind of atmosphere, a family kind of feel. And so when you walk around Golden One Center, you see friends from the neighborhood, you see long lost friends, people you haven't seen. You know, it's sort of like a one giant family reunion when you go to Golden One Center. And you come here to Chase Center, you know, it's all corporatized. You know, it feels a little cold. It feels a little stale. And so that's a big difference, I think, in these two buildings.
Yeah, Amadrock here on the chat, really interesting point, very cogent point. He says, I went to both Chase Center and Golden One for Metallica concerts. Golden One Center is much easier to navigate. He says, there are too many corridors to get lost in.
Yeah,
I think 50 years from now, they're going to find like skeletons of media members at Chase or people with the media credentials on, you know, I guess he never could find his way to the elevator. Because I've almost been one of those people. It's like a catacombs
like,
in there.
In an arena, it should be very simple. On the inside, you walk around. On the outside of the court, you know, of the arena bowl, you walk around. Like, it should be just a one continuous circle, right? Like an oval.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like that when you get down to the bowels of Chase Center. It's like, you got to make a left to go here or right there, you know, you got to find Steve Kerr's press conference. It's sort of like a maze. And it shouldn't be that complex. I just don't get it. And
yeah.
So that's what I love about Golden One. It's like, you could just walk around, you know. You may not know exactly where you're going, but you're going to bump into where you need to be at some point if you keep walking
yes.
around.
I agree with Tim Roy, though, who he was nice enough to join us Friday, of course, when the Warriors were here, and he said they're two of the most beautiful, I think he said, the two most beautiful buildings in the whole NBA in Northern California. So good for us. It's a great time to be a pro basketball fan in Northern California. It's not a very good time to be a pro football fan in Las Vegas. The Raiders, Kyle, what's going on? Mark Davis has had it, firing his head coach and his GM. Is that going to fix things? Have the Raiders turned it around?
Hey, I it's a start, I tell you that. Because when you look at the roster, they have talent on that roster. But I said it yesterday to you, Whitey. I said, is Josh McDaniels trying to get fired? Because when I looked at that game the other night against Detroit, you're down 3-0. You got the ball, 4th-and-2 on your own 49. Why don't you play the field position game? It's still early. You're only down a field goal. Why try a gutsy play then? And Detroit marched down, and they got a field goal, and it made it 6-0, so it didn't hurt you a whole lot. But it just did not seem like a smart call. And when you look at Josh McDaniels, how many chances is this guy going to get? I understand it didn't work out in Denver. He was awful in Denver, a combined 11-17 in two seasons there. So then he goes back to Bill Belichick, goes back to the Roost, and hangs with his coach, works on some things, and you thought he would be better. But here, what? And with the Raiders, 9-16 is the record, and you know, it's just – I think, you know, his time is up. You know, I was driving mm-hmm. down here to the Bay Area, and I was thinking, how many chances is this guy going to get? I think what Josh McDaniels is a really good offensive coordinator, but a lousy head coach.
Yeah. You know, teams do not like in football to fire their coach in season.
Yeah.
And he's been fired in season now twice. And I guess some people are trying to give Mark Davis some credit for cleaning up this mess, but I can't give him much credit for that because this, again, was a mess of his own making. What will this be now? Whoever he hires next as a coach and GM, think that'll be his fourth regime?
Right.
Because, you know, and Del Rio and Reggie McKenzie, they actually made some progress. Then he went with Gruden and Mike Mayock, and now Ziegler and Josh McDaniels, and they're out. I think we throw the term around too loosely where we say, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. But Mark Davis does not know what he's doing. He has no idea what he's doing. And like I said before we took a break here, this is the first time in my life. I'm glad they're not in the Bay Area anymore because it's a clown show. And I, as long as he's running things, I don't like their chances of ever turning things around and becoming respectable again.
And I get that. And I let me ask you this then. Why are the Las Vegas Aces the model franchise in the WNBA? Why are they doing it right? Is it because he's not involved as much? Maybe, like, he's the owner of them too. And so why is he so bad in the football realm of things, but they figured it out in basketball? I legitimately want to know.
My guess would be, you know, who knows, but my guess would be he thinks, hey, my dad was great, one of the greatest coaches, not just a, you know, seminal figure in pro football, yeah, but a great coach. And, you know, some of that rubbed off on me. And basketball, I don't know. I'll let somebody else handle that. But football, I know what I'm doing. I'll never forget this story. And I know I mention this all the time. He's at dinner at, I guess, P.F. Chang's. And that's, you know, P.F. Chang's is wonderful. But he goes there all the time. And he's at dinner with Reggie McKenzie. And there's a writer there. And he takes the napkin and he tears off two pieces of the napkin and says, Reggie, this is what I need. And Reggie McKenzie's like, what? And he goes, I need two corners. I need two corners, Reggie. That to me is... That is the classic Mark Davis moment. Yeah. Can you imagine if you're Reggie McKenzie, like, what the F are you talking about? And that's the guy running the show.
Yeah, that's the guy. I will say this, though. Listening to Antonio Pierce today, he said he won the press conference today. He said all the right things. And I'm encouraged by what I heard from him. The first thing he did was say Aiden O'Connell is our starting quarterback. He benched Jimmy Garoppolo. And so, to me, and, you know, you and I, we've talked about it, we're both Jimmy fans, but something's just not right.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Something's just not right with Jimmy right now. Now, the rest of the season, you can see what you have in Aiden O'Connell, and then maybe address the quarterback situation after this. But right now, they're a dumpster fire. Mm-hmm. And I would surmise that it wasn't the loss to Detroit that was the nail in the coffin. It was the loss the week before to the Chicago Bears. That was the low point. Like, how do you lose to the Chicago Bears and Fields didn't even play in that game? Mark Davis was so busy, you know, celebrating the parade with the Las Vegas Aces, so he waited a week. But, you know, this move should have been made last week. I mean, it's the least surprising move, I think, of this NFL season. I think we've all seen it coming. Maybe not in season. But, you know, I don't think anybody is saying McDaniels, this isn't deserved. Like, he earned this firing, McDaniels did.
No question. And you mentioned Antonio Pierce in his media conference today. We have some sound. Yeah, Antonio Pierce actually did a great job today. Here's a brand new Raider coach, interim head coach, Antonio Pierce.
And had opportunities to leave and go to other organizations. I decided not to. The short story, the matter of fact is, I grew up in Compton, California. I was born a Raider. I was born with the Raiders rolling in the Coliseum in L.A. I was rolling with NWA, talking straight out of Compton, rocking Raider hats. So when the opportunity came to work with Josh and Pat Graham and Dave, I jumped on it. So that's what set me up for this. I was born this way.
Here's that's great.
Sign me up. I'm Raider Nation now, baby. That's what I'm that's what Raider Nation needs. They need to feel connected to the organization. And Mark Davis, Josh McDaniels, they don't scream Raiders. Like, Josh McDaniels is not a Raider. Antonio Pierce is.
Yeah, but he's also a linebacker, which is great. And that's, yeah. The Raiders are averaging, I think it's 15.8 points a game. 15.8 points a game. So who's the next head coach going to be? He's a linebacker. Come on! I mean, he can be your coordinator or something.
Come on, Whitey. You know better. So defensive coaches can't work out? You bring in a great offensive coordinator, right?
My whole future depends on, as you said, the new quarterback, right? Aiden O'Connell.
Yeah.
I would want to get a head coach. Nothing against Antonio Pierce. Like, hey, promote him. Like I say, you're the new defensive coordinator. This would be tremendous. But I would want to get an offensive-minded head coach in there. Well, what do I know? I'm not Mark Davis, thank goodness. Speaking of football, the 49ers, they won the deadline day yesterday. At least that's the way some see it. Will that help them win any football games? Kyle's in San Francisco. I'm here in Sacramento. It's a Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports. Isn't it great to have Kings basketball tonight? You can hear it right here, of course, on Sactown Sports. If you're watching the game, you can check out NBC Sports California. Hal Draper with the call. This will be, well, is this your third game already this year?
Yeah, third out of four.
Nice.
Randy, your boy, hey, come on, man. Don't sound so surprised.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think I got 14 of the first 17 or 15 of 18. So your boy, hey, this is it, man. Mm-hmm, this is what I came to SAC for. A chance to do this, you know, for a great franchise, a great team that's on the rise. So I'm excited, man.
Yeah, Kings fans, as we said, are getting a little agitated here. Patrick Donaldson on the chat says, I used to like Curry before he started all the theatrics. And he also points out, as you said, two of the Warriors' three wins were against a horrible Houston team and a Pelicans team without Ingram. So I get it. They have been playing well, but I understand they haven't had a really, impressive schedule that they played so far.
Yeah, and they got to hit some bumps and bruises. It's all going great now. Sunshine and rainbows. The road is nice and smooth. But after this, they got a three-game road trip. And I know they've played well on the road so far. But, you know, it's way early, you know. What happens, you know, like I said, when they go on that first three-game losing streak? What happens when Steve Kerr decides to bench Chris Paul late in the game, instead go with a bigger lineup? And so we'll figure it out. You know, we'll see how these Warriors do now. They should enjoy this now because – and they're an aging team too, Whitey. Let's keep it real. And so right now, you know, things are going well, but we'll see. It's a long season.
From the 209 here on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, will Young be a good player? Is a question from the 209 for the 49ers. Will Young be a good player for the 49ers? That's not coming from you, is it, Kyle? There we go. Sorry, we got that.
No, I mean, I could rock with it. Trust me on that. That's my kind of music. But no, not that time. That wasn't me.
Will Young be a good player for the 49ers? Yeah, yesterday the 49ers, by some measures, they won the deadline yesterday. A lot of the grades that came out today on the websites saying, oh, that's an A for the 49ers.
Yeah.
But how much do you think, now we've had some time to think about it, Chase Young to the 49ers, how much do you think he can reasonably help this slumping team?
On paper, I think this is a huge move for the Niners. I think this is exactly what they needed on that defensive line. A young, 24-year-old, hungry defensive end who's in a contract year. And I feel like, you know, John Lynch and those, they needed to inject some energy, some new life, because the way it was going, it was trending the wrong way. Now you got the bye week. Now you bring in Chase Young, a guy with something to prove, if you will, and hopefully this shakes things up. And so I think this is a slam dunk move for the Niners. Like, I don't see no negative. You didn't have to give up a whole lot, a third-round compensatory pick, which you'll get back if he leaves and goes elsewhere after the season. And so I think this was a no-brainer move. And, you know, I give it to, you know, Tim Kawakami wrote for the Athletic. You know, they did win this one. This is a win-win for the Niners.
Yeah, and by the way, Tim Kawakami doubled down on what he was tweeting yesterday. He says he was told the 49ers had something else going on, and it didn't come to fruition. But they were apparently working on something. We don't know what it was, probably for a corner, but it didn't happen. But I think Tim Kawakami yesterday, when he said more is coming, I believe that the 49ers were trying really hard to get something else done. But here we are. You brought up a really good question yesterday, if I remember correctly, when you said, all right, everyone talks about, oh, they can't stop the run. Is Chase Young going to help stop the run? And today, John Lynch said, yeah, he's a complete player. He's a great pass rusher, but he's also going to help us stop the run. So that's the key to this acquisition. But did you see what Mike Silver tweeted? There are some questions about Chase Young. Some are saying, well, this is just, you know, like sour grapes that are coming from the Commanders. They don't have any more, so they're kind of backstabbing them. Here's what Mike Silver tweeted, quote, Young, according to several Commanders coaches and other organizational sources, was viewed as an undisciplined player who developed bad habits, such as deviating from assignments in an effort to make splash plays, end quote. Whoa, undisciplined. How is he going to help turn things around if he's undisciplined? You're not buying it, huh?
Not buying it at all. This is classic when a guy leaves town, let's start, you know, throwing dirt on his name. Let's start, you know, and the city of Boston was notorious for that, and now they're doing it out there in Washington as well. How come we didn't hear about this last week?
Right.
How come it wasn't an issue 2 weeks ago? Don't all of a sudden the guy leaves, you trade him away, and now you try to save face publicly. Well, you know, the Washington Commanders are having a fire sale right now. That's what it was at trade deadline. And no way you give up on a 24-year-old number two overall pick. It just does not make sense to me. And, you know, even if he was undisciplined, I'm a firm believer in organizational culture matters. And so when you look at the Washington culture under Dan Snyder the last few years, it's been a dumpster fire. And so I'm looking forward to Chase Young going to a more respectable legacy kind of franchise, a stable franchise in a first-class organization, and him turning it around. And so I'm not buying what Mike Silver tweeted out. Sure, they may think that, but to me that's just sour grapes trying to sully a man's name on his way out of town.
Yeah, especially you would think because they didn't get much for him. So, you know, to as you say, you cover your own behinds like, yeah, well, you know, we couldn't get more for him because he's so undisciplined. It probably is. There probably is some truth to it. You play on a bad team, you're going to develop some bad habits, but it's an ideal situation. I agree with you. I think the key to it for the 49ers is that this is a guy that has a lot to prove. His fifth-year option's been declined, and he's got to prove that he's worth a lot of money. And you've already got two guys, that, as we've discussed. Is this impacting the play of Hargrave or Bosa? We don't know, but they did get paid. And now you got a guy who has to earn that next paycheck, and I'll ride with that guy in this situation.
Yeah, 100%. And obviously the Niners will add a cap space to bring him back if they so choose. But, no, you're right. And the thing, the reason why I like this move so much is obviously you didn't give up a whole lot to get Chase Young. But the reward far outweighs the risk in this situation, right? You're trying to play for a Super Bowl. And if you're John Lynch and if you're Kyle Shanahan, you want to go all in. Whatever it takes. I don't care about the money. I don't care about anything else. If this moves you closer to your goal of getting a Super Bowl, then I'm all for it. And so I'm a big Chase Young fan, and you know, it pains me to say, Whitey. You know, I'm speaking glowingly of something the Niners did, which usually I don't do, but this was a slam dunk move.
By the way, did you hear what Jerry Jones said on his radio show about playing your Eagles?
Oh, shoot. What'd he say now?
I kid you not. I don't know if we can play it because we'd have to bleep, but apparently he said, we're in some serious bleep this week, fellas. He said that on his radio show. I don't know if he didn't know they were on the air. Oh, well, I'll tell you what, we're in some serious bleep this week. You don't say that about another team.
And that's your owner, too, right? That's the leader of your franchise already telling you, hey, you know, we had some deep doo-doo coming up. I don't know if I can say that, but yeah.
Sure.
You know, that sure doesn't rally the truth, that's for sure.
He's
that
right.
Doesn't evoke confidence.
I mean, he's right, but still,
right.
Some things you keep to yourself. I got a question for you, Kyle, on the text line here. Walter from Stockton, and we know that no Fox tonight and no Trey Lyles, and Walter from Stockton's wondering, what's going on with Trey Lyles? When is he coming back? You got any information on Trey Lyles?
Yeah, he's progressing. You know, he's been taking part in practice yesterday. Doing some work. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays in one of the Houston games. I think he's really close from everything I'm hearing. You know, this calf injury, you know how it is, man. It's one of those things that just needs time
lingers
to heal, and you don't want to rush him back from something like that because you can re-aggravate it. But he has been progressing in his workouts, and so I fully expect him to make his debut in one of these Houston games, maybe Saturday, more likely Monday. It's interesting, as we switch back to basketball, I'm sitting here, I'm in Chase Center right now, Whitey, and there's already a player on the court warming up. This is probably the earliest I've ever seen a player on and it's Brandon Pajemski, the rookie out of Santa Clara for the Warriors. He's out here getting up shots. This is historically early. Like, this isn't shoot around in the morning. This is 2:30, 2:40, and he's already going through his pregame warm-ups. Ray Allen was the earliest guy. Him and Kyrie, they used to come in at 3:30 and do it. This is historic right here. 2:30, and this guy's already out on the court warming up.
Good for him. When you're not getting any, you know, you're not playing at all, I guess you got to get your work in somehow. But, you know, young guy, good for him. That's impressive. We have a question for you from Linda. She says, Drapes, you and Katie do a great job. What do you think Curry would think if his kids acted like he did?
Ooh, that's it. You know what, Linda? And I'm going to keep it real, Whitey, because that's what I do to our listeners. I always tell my kids, do as I say, not as I do. Because I almost got into a fight at the Folsom Lifetime a couple of weeks ago playing pickup ball. So I'm not going to throw any shade at Steph Curry and being a role model for his kids or anything like that. Because trust me, I'm not the dude that you want to be like when you play basketball.
Yeah.
It gets pretty intense with your boy Drapes out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, on some level, Steph would probably say, look, you just got to be able to back it up. You want to act like
right.
that? You know, look
and
at me.
And he's not doing anything. He's not crossing the line.
Right.
Or anything like that, right?
I mean, I would say antagonistic, but not disrespectful, except to Dylan Brooks. And Dylan Brooks kind of was asking for it. It's
Dylan
a whole
Brooks
separate.
Deserves everything he gets, though, right?
Yeah, it's
He's
a whole
in a
separate
special
set of
box
rules
by himself.
Yes.
Exactly.
For him.
Exactly.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, with Fox out, Davion gets the start, and we'll tell you why. Next year is the Drive Guys roll on game day on Sacktown Sports. Kings against Warriors tonight. Kyle Draper in San Francisco at the Chase Center. He's got the call tonight for NBC Sports California. The latest roster survey is out. NBA.com, and I'm kind of a nerd about these. I love looking through them. There's some interesting tidbits. One thing that jumps out here that's relevant to tonight, the Milwaukee Bucks are the oldest team in the NBA by age. The average player on their roster right now, 28.21 years old. So Milwaukee, the oldest, and the Clippers, and of course the Warriors. And again, this is average. So you got some older guys. You mentioned Podziemski already working out. He brings down the average. But they're at 28.03, the third oldest team. So yeah, certainly one of the oldest. Kings, by the way, are 3-4. They're like 12th in here. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. 12th oldest team. So
really?
Yeah. At 26.49. So they're not an especially young team. That is, when you average out the roster, they're neither really a young team nor an old team, kind of middle of the pack.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because while driving down, I was listening to Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson, the All the Smoke podcast, and they were talking about how it's a young man's game. You know, when I look at this Kings roster, I feel like they're a young team still.
Mm-hmm.
But they're the 12th oldest in the NBA. Think about that, Whitey.
Yeah.
So there are, you know, 17 other teams that are 18 other teams that are younger than the Sacramento Kings, which is crazy. And so, you know, the veterans of the league
last season,
guys are playing longer, obviously, but there aren't as many of them as there were when we were coming up.
Right.
You know, there used to be a ton of, you know, 8-year, 9-year, 10-year, 11-year veterans, and you don't see that as much anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure there are different ways to slice it. Like, there's just, this is just average age on your roster. It could be, well, of the guys that are getting the most minutes, what's the average age? There's a lot of different ways you could slice it. But the youngest teams, according to this, right now in the NBA, the Spurs, the Thunder, the Hornets, the Trailblazers, and the Magic. And the Spurs' average age is 23.5. So,
wow.
That's pretty young team.
That used to be the age guys were coming out of college.
Yeah.
You know? Think about that. Wow. The game has changed. Man, the league has changed.
Yeah. The youngest player, Memphis Grizzlies rookie G.G. Jackson II. He is the youngest player on the NBA to start of the season. 18 years old. He turns 19 on December 17th. How about that?
Wow. That's where were you when you were 18?
I was probably working at the pet shop or something, you know, the aquarium. Yeah, I was nowhere near the NBA, that's for sure.
You were doling out goldfish at the local aquarium, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But I was good at it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I did it, but hey, as far as tonight goes, you mentioned something earlier, and I've been all over this, and I'm kind of walking it back a little bit just as far as how I personally feel. The whole Draymond thing.
Yes.
I'm just not as bent on that. And, you know, we've talked about it. And I was, you got to do something. And I now at this point, you know, maybe it's been long enough. I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing Domas try something. But given what's at stake, Fox isn't playing. You don't want Domas getting thrown out. I think I'm okay if they don't. I understand what you're saying. But right now I'm just not feeling that same sense of, yes, you have to send a message. Not tonight. I'm not feeling it.
Is it because so much time has passed? We've already seen these guys once. Like, are you hoping maybe down the line later in November or something like, or has the time passed? Like the opportunity has passed. You know, we've moved on. We're on to bigger and better things. We're not worried about that anymore.
I think the time, yeah, a lot of time has gone by. I think maybe Friday would have been the perfect night, but of course, Draymond didn't play. And like I say, I think I'm really influenced by the fact that no Fox tonight. And, you know, you can't risk having Domas get caught throwing a bow or something and getting thrown out. I don't know.
But maybe it's not Domas.
Yes.
Maybe it's JaVale McGee.
Now we know why Petrusev is on the team.
Exactly. Maybe it's our guy Petrusev. You know, maybe it's Alex Len.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody, I don't know. I tell you what, though. You know, if I'm Domantas Sabonis and if I'm Sacramento, the best get back is to get a win. That's how you shut Draymond up.
No question.
And I know, I get it. I wanted to, you know, see Domas, you know, with a hard foul or anything like that. But ultimately, the best form of revenge is getting a win. That's how you shut Draymond Green up. And so, you know, if you do something dirty, you know, a hard foul, that may invigorate him. Remember, like, he's the kind of guy that, remember, he dropped, what was it, game 5 in Sacramento? He dropped like 20-something points. That was huge. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you don't want to poke the bear tonight in tonight's game.
And I know we're not supposed to mention this, but the Kings were antagonizing him a little bit with, you know, Monk in the first game grabbing his foot and Domas kind of grabbing his foot a little bit. So, you know, a little gamesmanship involved there in the playoffs. Yeah, I think it'd have to be someone else if the message is going to be delivered. But I'm, for the first time in many months, I'm okay if the Kings decide to just play on. And you're right. You beat him. You shut up Draymond and his, you know, his little buddy number 30. And I, yeah, that's good enough for me. With Fox out, Davion gets the start.
Yes.
Of course, Kyle told us that right away. He's like, you know, Davion's starting. Here's why. Mike Brown says, when you have a guy like that to come off the bench, gives you so much versatility, offensive especially. Also, it gives you an opportunity to bring him off for a long stretch, sit him for a couple of minutes, and then play him at the end if you need to. So, who, you know, Monk not starting. If you start him, then you're actually, in a way, altering two positions, aren't you?
Right.
You don't want to have to make that many adjustments.
Yeah, because Malik is so big for you off the bench. Now you pull him into the starting lineup. Now, who's the guy you turn to get offense off the bench? You know, you got Sasha, yes, but Malik is sort of that firecracker. He's going to play 30 minutes tonight, no doubt about it. I like the move starting Davion. I got some numbers here, Whitey, and you tell me what you think about this. In 19 starts as a rookie, Davion averaged 18 points and 7.4 assists. In 9 games last season, just 9.2 points, 4 assists. Now, I know a new coaching staff, new system, maybe not as much as asked out of the point guard position as it was before because it wasn't your prototypical position now with the Kings because you run a lot through Domas. But we've seen Davion excel when Fox has been unavailable. What do we need from Davion tonight? Obviously, great defense. We know that. But does he have to score? Is 9 points going to get it done tonight, or do we need to see more from him?
I think an efficient 9 goes a long ways, in my opinion, and this is hardly a newsflash. You know, I think where he ends up getting to, what kind of player he ends up being, is going to hinge largely on something he's worked on all summer long. Can he be a consistent 3-point shooter? Mm. Maybe not a great one, but can he – we've talked about this. Can he shoot 35% or better? I think if he can do that, he can be a really impactful player at both ends. But if he's not making his shot, I think he's going to end up being more of a specialist guy for his career. And tonight's a great example of how much the Kings will need him. Not to go out and score 25, that'd be great, but just be a guy that can hold his own offensively and be an efficient offensive player enough to cause problems for the other team.
You know what he needs to be? He needs to look like a starting point guard tonight.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he needs to be. You know, when you looked at Tyus Jones and what he did in Memphis when Ja Morant went out, Tyus Jones stepped up and he made a name for himself as the best backup point guard in the NBA, a guy that can, you know, should be starting on a lot of teams. Davion has to get to that point. You know, I'm looking at the numbers against the Lakers the other night. 16 minutes, 4 shots, 5 points. That's not going to, you know, he needs to impact the game. I need to know that he's out there. on both ends of the floor. And so, you know, I hate to put a number on the shot attempts because I don't think that's how, you know, basketball should be played. Oh, you got to have 15 shots. But I want 9 or 10 shots at least from this guy tonight.
Yeah.
That shows me you're engaged, you're involved on both ends of the floor. I know you're going to give me the defense, Davion, but I need to see some offense too. To your point, Whitey, we're not asking him to go out there and score 25, 30 points. Can I get 10 to 15, though?
Mm-hmm.
Can I get that at least?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm asking from Davion tonight.
You know, the great point guards, true point guards, and it's a dying breed because – you know, great point guards that can score into everything in some ways is like, that's better. We don't need a guy who can't score. But
yeah.
My point is, in the mold of a traditional point guard like Davion's probably going to be tonight, if the offense is functioning at a high level, and they're either getting out in transition, whatever, that's fine. But it's if things are bogging down and no one else is making shots, and he's got to be the guy to recognize, all right, I'm going to have to pick up some of the offensive slack. So to me, that's going to determine how many shots he's going to have to take. Is the offense humming or is it struggling a little bit? And he has to be the guy who has that ability to recognize he's smart. He knows how to get a team in the offense. He has to be able to say, all right, I'm going to have to start taking these shots and loosen things up for everybody else and kind of shake up the defense a little bit.
You know, that, and that's a tall task to ask.
Yeah.
Though, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I think De'Aaron Fox has mastered over these last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
knowing when to take over, knowing when your team needs you to be that guy. Can Davion be that? You know, the thing about Davion, and I mentioned the stats his rookie year, 18 points per game. He was getting to the bucket back then, too. Now, I don't want him just to be a three-point shooter out there. Play your game, young fella. You know,
I didn't know it was that high. I didn't know it was that. You said that yesterday. I didn't realize he'd average that many points.
Yes, yes. And let me restate it. 19 starts as a rookie. He averaged 18 points and 7.4 assists.
Mm.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. So the ball was in his hand. And I know we got Domantas Sabonis now, obviously. And so, you know, Domas is running the offense, you know, through him a lot more, obviously. But you can still be impactful. How come Malik Monk can come in and take over a game? How come, you know, Sasha can come in and get you 12 points? Trey Lyles or whoever. Like, Davion has to be that guy, too. You know what I want? And I've said this before, Kings fans. A mark of a good NBA team is when you got 7 or 8 guys that might can go off for 20 on any given night. I know Davion can do it. We just haven't seen it for a long time. So when are we going to have that Davion Mitchell game? That game we look back and say, man, Davion, he was that dude that night. He helped us win that game. Too many times, he's just part of the group, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he's good enough to be that guy on a given night. And so I need him to an extent to be a little bit selfish out here tonight.
Tonight would be a good night for that. Tonight would be a great night to see that. Yeah, we're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Yeah, Wemby and the Spurs pull off a stunner in the desert. It's the Drive Guys on Game Day, Sacktown Sports.